الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. أما بعد عادي هرمي الحمد لله. Very sorry, I was in the room but I didn't realize that the Pal Talk program was off. It didn't notify me. It was in the background, in the back window. طيب على كل حال. Anyway. نحن مع كتاب تنبيه الأفهام في شرح عمدة الأحكام للشيخ الإمام محمد بن صالح بن عثيمين رحمه الله تعالى. Unfortunately, I forgot to program the WZIC classroom for this hour. So, very unfortunate, those who are in WZIC may not be able to be with us. Five, anyway. Imam Ibn Adhim, Imam Maqdisi began the book of Umdat al-Ahkam by the book of Tahara. Book of Tahara, which is purity. نعم. قال الطهارة في اللغة النظافة. First of all, remind me, did we start the book or this was the first time we start? I think this is the first time. Am I right? Okay. Now, Imam Maqdisi said the book of Tahara. Tahara in the Arabic language means cleanness. And in to the understanding of the scholars of the Sharia of Islam is to remove the cause of impurity, to remove the cause of impurity from yourself. Meaning to remove it from your body, from your clothes, from like that. And there is other meaning for tahara. That is the spiritual meaning. It's not something physical, but it is more to be spiritual, to purify the spirit, to purify your spirit, your heart, your soul. And that's as what Allah Ta'ala said in Surah Tawbah, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. As Allah Ta'ala said in this ayah, وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ صَلَاتَكَ سَكَنٌ لَهُمْ. Of their goods, take alms, that so you might purify and sanctify them. So you might purify them. This purification here in this ayah does not have any relation to the wudu or showering, but it is something spiritual, something to deal with the spirit, to purify the intention, the heart. Like that. And also, as in the ayah of Surah Al-Anbiya, ayah number 74, where Allah Ta'ala said, ونجيناه من القرية التي كانت تعمل الخبائث. And to Lut عليه السلام, and to Lut too, we gave judgment and knowledge, and we saved him from the town which practiced abominations. And also, as Allah Ta'ala said, as in ayah 9 and as in ayah 90, as in ayah 9 of Surah Al-Ma'idah, or sorry, ayah 90 of Surah Al-Ma'idah, where Allah Ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنْصَابُ رِجْسٌ مِنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Rijsun here is the opposite of tahara. Rijs is opposite of tahara. As Allah Ta'ala said, all you who believe, intoxicants and gambling and deviation by arrows are an abomination of Satan's handwork. And when we see, it says abominations of Satan handwork, we know that it is spiritual impurity. It's not the physical impurity. Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen said, rahimahullah ta'ala, وَقَدْ بَدَأَ الْمُصَنِّفُونَ بِالْفِقْهِ وَأَحَادِيثِ الْأَحْكَامِ كُتُبَهُمْ بِالطَّهَارَةِ لِأَنَّا مِفْتَاحُ الصَّلَاةِ الَّتِي هِيَ آكَدُ أَرْكَانِ الْإِسْلَامِ بَعْدَ الشَّهَادَتَيْنِ. He said that all those authors who compile books in the field of fiqh and the rulings of jurisprudency rulings, they began their books by the books of purity of tahara, the books of tahara. That is because tahara is the key to the salah, which is the most confirmed pillar of Islam after the testimony of faith. قَالَ فَلَا صَلَاةَ بِلَا طُهُورٍ. And as there is no salah without purity. وثم مناسبة يعني أخرى. And there is another reason for them to begin with the book of طهارة. قد لا تكون مما قصده العلماء بالذات. Maybe it wasn't the purpose for them to begin with the book of طهارة. وهي تذكر المتعلم عند بدء تعلمه بتطهير قلبه وإخلاص النية لله تعالى في طلب العلم. He said, it is to remind the student of knowledge when he comes to begin seeking knowledge to purify his heart with sincerity by seeking the knowledge. while seeking the knowledge. بأن يقصد بذلك وجه الله تعالى. So that he intends with what he is doing of seeking knowledge only to adhere the face of Allah, or to seek with that the face of Allah, والدار الآخرة, and the other life. وحفظ الشريعة الإسلامية, and to precise and preserve the Sharia of Islam. وَنَشْرِيَ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ, and to spread it amongst the people. وَحِمَايَتِهَا, protecting it. وَالنِّضَالِ دُونَهَا, and even sacrificing for it by defending it by all means. وَرَفْعِ الْجَهْلِ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ, and to remove the ignorance of himself first. وَعَنِ النَّاسِ جَمِيعًا, and from everyone else. But he should begin with himself to correct himself first. حَتَّى يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى بَصِيرًا, up until them all worship Allah upon basira, guidance. That is what Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen began and said. And then Imam Maqdisi began his book on the Tulahkam by the hadith, which is very important to everyone to know and understand and act upon it, as well as to start to begin the books that they compiled with. It is the hadith of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, which is reported by Imam Bukhari in his book As-Sahih, in the book of Bad'ul Wahi, the beginning of hadith number 1, chapter titled by كيف كان بدءُ الوحي إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. How was the revelation coming to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Also Imam Muslim reported it, hadith number 1907 under the chapter of the saying of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, and that was in the book of Jihad, and that he said, and that also is required in fighting in Jihad and other deeds. He said, عن عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إنما الأعمال بالنيات. وفي رواية بالنية, وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى, فمن كانت هجرته إلى الله ورسوله فهجرته إلى الله ورسوله, ومن كانت هجرته لدنيا يصيبها أو امرأة يتزوجها فهجرته إلى ما هاجر إليه. The narrator of the hadith is Umar ibn Khattab, Amir al-Mu'mineen, and the second Khalifa of the Muslimin, Al-Faruq, the dispute. كان من أشرافي, من أشرافي, was one of the main families of Quraysh. He embraced Islam in the 5th or 6th year after the prophethood, not after the hijrah, but after the prophethood. فكان بإسلامه عز للمسلمين. So by him embracing Islam, this brought an honor and strength to the believers, to the Muslims. And he witnessed, he attended all the battle that Rasulullah ﷺ had with the kuffar. وتولى الخلافة بعد أبي بكر الصديق رضي الله عنه بإشارة من الصديق رضي الله تعالى عنه. And he became the second Khalifa by the advice of Abu Bakr الصديق. فقام بها خير قيام بعده.
So he, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, fulfilled the duty of Khilafah as the best way after Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. وفي آخر ذي الحجة لأربع ليال بقين من منه and on at the end of ذي الحجة in year 23 on the 26th of ذي الحجة particularly or specifically a slave who was a Majus was from amongst the Majus who was Persian who was Magian from Faris, and he was a slave of Al-Mughira bin Shu'ba. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu told Al-Mughira bin Shu'ba many times to release him or sell him, let him go out of Medina. But Al-Mughira wanted him to remain because he was a good smith. He was a blacksmith. And he was very expert in making weapons. One day Umar radiallahu anhu was with some of his companions and passed by this man Abu Lu'lu al-Majusi in his shop and saw him making a knife of two side blades, and he asked him, a knife with two side blades, that sounds very strange. He said, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, I'm preparing it for a day. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu immediately looked to his companions and he said, this ilj is a word given to the non-Arabs, kuffar, to the non-Arab kuffar. He said, this ilj is threatening me, is threatening me. But no one realized that until it was the 26th of the Hijjah year 23, when Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu was in the mihrab of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, next to the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his Khalifa Abu Bakr Siddiq, there were the Sahaba were still many in their number. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, after straightening their rows as usual with his stick dirra, and he made all the rows to be straight, he came to the mihrab and he started the salah saying, Allahu Akbar. As once he said Allahu Akbar, the ilj, Abu Lu'lu al-Majusi, who was hiding himself in the darkness next to the mihrab, came out with that knife that Umar told him, what a knife of two blades. And he said, I'm preparing it for a day. And he poisoned that knife for days and days until the metal absorbed they poison, so when it cuts the flesh, the poison immediately goes into the blood. So he came and
he came and stopped Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And when Umar collapsed, the Sahaba cut off their prayers and they wanted to catch this murderer, but he tried to escape, and while doing that he killed a number of them, up until it was when they caught him and killed him to the hell. Look at that. And today the kuffar in Iran, the kuffar, the Rafida in Iran, are building a big dome with a big sign on it saying that this is the grave of Baba Shuja'uddin, meaning our father, the brave one of the religion. And they are right of their religion, the kufr, as they never be Muslims. And I swear by Allah that they will never enter the Jannah if they die with their aqeedah. Wallahi, they will never enter the Jannah. The Rafida will never enter the Jannah if they die on what they believe. They praise the Magian, Abu Lu'lu'a, the Kafir who killed Amir al-Mu'mineen, and they curse Amir al-Mu'mineen. How come these people enter the Jannah? They worship the graves. They criticize the mother of believers. They name the kuffar, they name the sahaba as kuffar, except for few ones of them. And they praise their shayateen, the like of Abu Lu'lu al-Majusi and Khomeini la'anahullah. So these kuffar, many Muslims today are found very emotional with them just because America is against them. Wallahi, if the whole earth go against the Rafida, I would never support them with even a stone. I would never support the Rafida with even a stone. I pray that Allah Ta'ala bestow victory on those kuffar in America or others to destroy the Rafida, because I found no one on this earth who is not Muslim cursing the Sahaba, claiming that the Quran that we have is not the true Quran, cursing the mothers of believers. Claiming that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the one who caused the split in the ummah. Claiming that Jibreel alayhi salam was sent by Allah to deliver the message to Ali, but he desirely took it to Muhammad. Claiming that Ali is Allah. Wallahi, until today, it is not only the statement of the founder of their sect, but it is even the belief of their ayat until today. Wallahi, it is with me the recording of one of their imams who's saying, you curse Ali and Ali is the one who created you. Of course we never curse Ali. Ali, we love him. He's the fourth Khalifa.
We are the ones who love Ali and the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not those liars. Those are Yahud and even worse than the Yahud. Those are more dirty than any dirt in the world. Enough for you to know the ugly worship that they are doing, the mut'a, up until they fabricate lies to the people that Abu Abdullah Ja'far is approving every form of mut'a, even with woman who is married. And they are saying that this is a worship to Allah. Even their Imam Khomeini practiced, not only allowed and called to, but he himself particularly practiced the mut'a with a 1 year baby girl. A 1 year baby girl. He put it on over his private part and did the mut'a. In their books, this is not from us, wallahi, in their books. I'm wondering how these fool people like Qaradawi and Salman al-Uda and the like, and Ikhwan Muslimin, they call Muslims to the unity with Shia. No, no way, no way. And they say that Morsi, the president of Egypt, went to Tehran and there he sought pleasure of Allah on Abu Bakr and Umar. This is not, and Uthman, this is not enough. He should have there told them, you guys should stop cursing these people, Abu Bakr, Umar and Uthman and Aisha. He should have told them that. It's not only enough to go there because it is a political gathering. It's not a religious gathering. So no one would stop him. That was a political gathering. Even people from Russia, from China, from were there representing their countries. So it means nothing. It doesn't mean nothing. But he should stop them in Egypt, not allow them to open in his time. He approved opening 6 Husayniyat, 6 places or 6 institutes of Shia in Egypt. Never happened in the times of Mubarak, Sadat, Abdel Nasser, or even King Farouk. Never happened. Just today in the time of Ikhwan Muslimin, who called for the unity with the Shia. Never ever, wallahi, never ever we unite with them. So these Shia kuffar are praising Abu Lu'lu al-Majusi for that he killed Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the second best man after all prophets and messengers, the second best man in all mankind after prophets and messengers. The first is Abu Bakr and the second is Umar. How come Allah Ta'ala select for the best of his creation, for the best of his messengers, for the most beloved messenger to him, Allah Ta'ala select, as they say, the worst of mankind? Subhanallah. Subhanallah. How can that be? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the most beloved messenger to Allah. Most beloved mankind to Allah. So how come Allah Ta'ala surround him with the worst quality of mankind? Never ever. It is only that they are the best of mankind. And his wives are the best of women ever known. But these people are the brothers of Shaitan. Are the brothers of Shaitan. They hate the believers. And that's why, wallahi, I am afraid. I am so scared of Ikhwan Muslimin taking over the leadership in different countries, in Tunisia, in Egypt. They got it. And look at it now. The Shia never been in Tunisia. The Shia never been there. All those in Al-Abidin ibn Ali was bad, but never allowed the Shia in. Today the Shia are there because Ikhwan Muslimin. Look at it in Egypt. But alhamdulillah, in Yemen, Allah Ta'ala did not allow Ikhwan Muslimin under the leadership of Abdul Majid al-Zandani to take over. Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala did not permit it. Otherwise, look to the Houthis, what are they going to do there? They already killed our brothers in Damaj. So what about it if the Ikhwan Muslimin come over? And inshallah, Ikhwan Muslimin never take Syria. We don't want to replace the Shia with the supporters of the Shia. No. No. We want people of Ahl Sunnah. Ahl Sunnah. Because once these people take over, don't ask how much destruction they are going to make in the land. May Allah Ta'ala expose them to the world and make everybody, every mankind to be against them and hate them and curse them. May Allah Ta'ala curse them and make every creation to curse them. La'anahumullah. And then Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was buried. He asked permission from Aisha radiallahu anha, because it was her house where Rasulullah sallam was buried, and then her father Abu Bakr. And she was planning to keep the remaining space for her when she dies to be buried there. But when Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked her permission, she allowed him. May Allah Ta'ala reward them all highly, the best and highest reward. That was Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who we spend almost all of the time of the hour today with him, although it is not enough to give a biography of this great companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I ask Allah Ta'ala to forgive me for shortening the speech about him. And if it is not that, it is only a biography of a narrator of a hadith that we are studying in the book of fiqh, I would have spent days and days speaking about this man because I love him. And as the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-mar'u ma'a man ahab. The person is going to be resurrected with those whom he loved. And I take Allah Azza wa Jal as a witness, as I take you all also as witnesses, that I love Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, Aisha, all the mothers of believers, all the companions of Rasulullah sallam, who he sallam passed away being pleased with them. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam
وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه. إن شاء الله تعالى we continue the explanation of the hadith tomorrow. جزاكم الله خير. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Okay, because I made a mistake in the schedule a bit. We were supposed to be doing Quran and Tafsir now. We were supposed to be doing Arabic now. And we did it earlier. So inshallah in the evening, just for today, we are going to do the Aqidah, Al-Qawl Al-Mufid, just for today. Because I made a mistake. نعم. جزاكم الله خير. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Is there any question? If there is any question, please immediately raise your hand, because no time left. Naam Deen. Deen al-Islam, go ahead. وفيكم بارك الله. How should we deal with the Rawafid, their scholars and their إيش هذا their laymen, عوام laymen. We should give them da'wah if they accept, or we just abandon them. They are kuffar. Even their عوام, if they don't accept the haq, they are kuffar. I'm wondering how can they be Muslims while they worship graves and worship their ayat and believe the Quran is not correct. How come? Even if they are awam, awam should ask. Look to what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about the Yahud and Nasara. He said, no one hears of me and doesn't believe in me except that Allah Ta'ala puts him in the fire, whether he is a Jew or Christian. Why? Because he heard of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now these people not only hear, but they know that there is a big conflict between Sunnah and Shia. Shouldn't they go and ask and learn and search on the internet? Now, if they hesitate to go and ask because they might be seen sitting to Al-Sunnah, at least they can go through they can go to the internet and hiddenly and secretly they can search to see the haq. But just to stay and stick to their scholars and we say, oh, they are laymen? La, 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 la. They are sharers of their evil. Na'am. And as I told you, the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-mar'u ma'a man ahab. The person is going to be resurrected with with whom he loves. And they love their ayat and they hate Abu Bakr and Umar. And Abu Bakr and Umar are the ones going to be with Rasulullah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to be in the Jannah. So these two teams never can meet. Never can meet. The Imams of Shia and Abu Bakr and Umar are with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these Imams are not going to meet even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And whoever is not going to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is not in the Jannah. And when he is not in the Jannah, he definitely is in the fire. He's definitely in the fire. And those awam love their imams and don't want to listen to any advisors and to any advice. So they are going off, meaning they are in the fire. As Allah Ta'ala said, Al-akhillau بعضهم لبعض لا هذا الآية in Surah Az-Zumar where Allah Ta'ala mentioned that the believers are going to be together and the disbelievers are going to be together alabuddin with Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab and Fir'aun in the depth of the fire of Jahannam and never come out of it. Na'am. Wallahu a'lam. But take my advice, don't set to no one of them, only give them advice far too far and stay away from them. They are worse than the one who carries severe diseases. They might influence you with. So be careful. Purify, go ahead. And maybe this would be the last question because I need to go to the Masjid Nabawi now. Question from Wazir. Oh, Jazakallah khair, you conveyed it to Wazir. A sister wants to join classes and send contact request to you sometime in order to join. Everybody can come. Just send the send me so I register your name. There is no any password to come. They all can come. You all are allowed and requested. However, I am requested you. Please invite any and everyone you know to the classes. Those who want to come just as listeners, sometimes they come, sometimes they don't. They don't need to send me an email. But those who want to be regular students, so later on we certify them, then they need to send me from now so I can follow up. I can see their names on the screen. And I have an attendance sheet here. So I take the attendance. Jazakumullahu khair. والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته